Good morning, everyone. I'm Lori Wood, here with my partner in crime and co-host, Steve Fatula. We're back for another episode of I Do, I Did, I Don't. Hope everybody's doing great this morning. Today, we thought we'd talk about what happens if your ex doesn't follow a court order.
Yeah. A big problem that we're running into, and as the courts get busier, it kind of seems like it's harder and harder to get, we'll call them bad people to follow court orders. I guess we should probably start with the preface that what court is awards and orders and paper.
I was going to say, maybe we give a definition of what that means.
Yeah. So we're talking about if the court makes an order, says that you must do something, pay something, have a schedule, something like that, and it's signed by the judge and is enforceable. That's an order.
And it can be anything from visitation to kids, a financial support payment, even a domestic violence order to stay away, not contact, all the things.
Correct.
All of those are court orders. Anything that the judge has signed off on ordering you to do something would be considered a court order.
Yeah. And okay. And the reality is, you know, they don't automatically work. And sometimes they don't ever work. And right. It kind of sucks to say that you may just have an ex side that sucks really bad, and you're going to be dealing with this forever.
Right, sometimes because that's there are some true cases that we've had where the ex just kind of puts up the middle finger at the court order, no matter what it is.
Yeah, child support probably is that one everyone is familiar with. You have the deadbeat on the other side.
Right. Could be male or female.
Could be male or female, and they just choose not to pay. We have the people that switch jobs every 3 months so that they don't have a wage garnishment that can follow.
People who willfully quit their jobs.
Right. Work cash jobs, don't report anything, right. Lie about income.
Business owners
where we're playing with the numbers.
Those are tough.
Those ones are tough. So each level has things you can do. Those things are expensive. And it's kind of one of those where it's got to be worth doing.
Right? I was going to say, does the end justify the means? Because sometimes it's really hard and it's frustrating. It's not right. So what would you consider something that it would make sense to do?
Sure. So I guess the first thing is what doesn't make sense.
Right.
Right. So we have a lot of people that want us to go to court and have the court order that the other side comply with an order that's already in place.
Is that what they call contempt?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. This is just they want, let's say the judge already said in last year that they have to pay $500. They're not paying it. So they want us to go back and say, hey, tell them to pay it again. Okay. And the reality is for anyone that's been the court or heard something similar, the judge's answer is the same. I already ordered it. It's already in place. I'm not reordering it. That makes no sense. So don't go to court trying to get the court to just say what the court's already said. So that's don't waste your time.
So I've had a lot of clients tell me to go to the court and get them to admonish or yell at.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen.
The courts aren't there to babysit. They're there to make orders and then enforce the orders if the right request is made. So, Laura, you hit it. Contempt is really the big way to do certain things. So each order has a way to deal with the order. So if it's child support or spousal support, you can enforce it in basically by getting a garnishment where it's automatic applied to the employment. And then the employer has to pay directly back to the county and the county pays you.
And it's very straightforward if they have a W-2 job or they're an employee.
Correct.
They're not switching jobs. They're not a business owner. They're not working under the table.
Correct.
So those are more difficult.
And most of those situations you've described are the ones that we're dealing with, right? Because the easy things, they don't tend to happen. Well, at least they don't come to us. So if your ex has a stable job, garnishment makes sense. Easy. Right. Easy to do. No one has to deal with it. You just become accustomed to it and moves on.
And probably if you know your ex is kind of finicky or doesn't care about court orders, maybe get the wage garnishment out of the gate.
Yeah.
Have it ordered in the first place.
And just understand anything with the court's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. So if you make the request, you have to refile paperwork. The court has to sign off. Then you have to file it with the employer. So it takes a little bit of time and then it has to take into payroll. So fairly like a 2 month turnaround at the best case.
Okay.
So if they're like, I got this now immediate, it's not immediate. Breathe. It's not
nothing with the court is very rare.
Very rare.
With the court.
Very rare. Absolutely. So then we have the next thing is if they're still not paying or if they have one of those other exceptions or change jobs or whatever, it doesn't matter. The order's there, pay support. They don't pay support. So then your next option is contempt. So contempt is weird. because it's there's very few things in family law that go beyond like a civil scenario.
Right.
This is one that's like a quasi criminal because the end result is somebody could end up in jail, which again, highly unlikely in most cases. But the punishment
is a bigger threat.
Correct. The punishment's there and the penalties there allow for jail time as well. So for every single payment they've not made, they can account a certain amount of days and penalties. And a lot of the contempt is used to make the threat so that the court can get the other person to pay. Right now, there's a lot of things that you have to consider when you're dealing with contempt. One is because it is this quasi-criminal, the other side may be afforded an attorney. So in theory, you could be using your attorney that you have to pay for and giving the other side a free attorney for that situation.
Wouldn't that be like a public defender or something?
It would be a public defender, yep. Okay. And the issue is we've had people that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars get them because they say they can't afford an attorney. And it happens, your eyes just got so wide. That's me in court going, they make more than everybody in this room. And they're crying, woe is me. And the court has to let them have one until they have a hearing on his income or her income.
I was going to say, until upon proof.
Until
they have to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even more of a slap to the face.
Yeah, it really kind of sucks because you end up fighting yourself on these things. So when then would contempt make sense? And the answer is, again, it's a tool in the tool belt. When the number gets big enough that it's worth doing, you do it, right? And support and arrears and interest can grow pretty quickly, especially if it's through the county.
100%. You will pay off, your children will become adults.
Oh, yeah.
And you may never pay off that because of the penalties and interest.
Correct. So you want to get it to the county as fast as possible as well, because they can do a lot of this stuff for free. So if it's just a child support issue, talk to your attorney or talk to the part of child support about filing contempt, and they will, again, foot the bill. So you
know, and they will do a lot of things. They will attach income taxes. They will do things that the layperson representing themselves and sometimes attorneys cannot do.
Even attorneys can't do it. Yeah. So they have definitely a bigger tool chest to enforce these orders.
Because the state wants people to be responsible for their children.
Yeah, and usually the state has some interest in it. They've done food stamps, so the state wants their money too.
I want to go back a little bit.
Sure.
So we have an order to pay $500 a month in child support.
Sure.
And you said just filing the order again, requesting it again, even if they expect the judge to kind of yell at them, is not worth it.
It won't. So it shouldn't do anything because the court should say it's already in place. I'm not going to reorder an order.
So the direction that they go would be a contempt motion. There's no stop in between.
Yeah. The next thing you could do would be the garnishment. The income withholding is an attempt. You don't have to actually file a motion. You just file with the
just that form.
The forms.
Yeah.
But again, that works, we'll say, for 50% of the scenarios, maybe less, maybe more, I don't know. But
and what information does somebody need to do a garnishment?
Yeah, so you would need to know the employment, which is tends to be when we run into these issues, right? So spouses that have separated, they may exchange their child, but they don't exchange their information anymore.
No.
And there are ways to get the information, right? Everyone has an annual right to know the other side's income and expense. So there's a specific form that you can use, even if nothing's pending, where they have to comply with it.
It's a request that's made saying, hey, we're going to exchange our information annually.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you get one a year. And the reason why it's set up that way is usually like you have a right to discovery and you can always ask for things like income, pay stubs, stuff like that. But there has to be an active case for discovery to exist.
And discovery is the gathering of information.
Correct. Discovery is asking for things formally.
Okay.
And then this is an exception, and it's built in for the support world that says once a year you can do this even if there's nothing pending.
So that's more likely in child support cases.
Correct.
And the county helps with child support cases, but really doesn't enforce or care about spousal support. Is that accurate?
Say the last part again.
The county... like Department of Child Support Services.
Yeah.
Very active in pursuing child support and will do a combined child and support order for spousal, but spousal support on its own, they don't care.
That's correct. They're going to just punt that and say, sorry, that's not our world.
Right.
Rarely will you have anybody that extends unless it's tied to the child support somehow. And it's just kind of like an add-on they can do kind of for no extra effort.
So if that $500 that was ordered was child support, you have a much better chance of getting it.
Yes.
If it's spousal support and the wage garnishment doesn't work and then they go to court for contempt,
Yeah.
What typically happens in a contempt case if the judge finds contempt?
So if the judge finds contempt, they could jail the other side.
But then is that productive because they're not getting paid?
So there's right. Yeah. There's your question. But most of the time the cases settle because people don't want to go to jail and the obligation won't go away. Right. So it's one of those. It's there to help everybody incentivize the right things.
Scare tactic.
It's a scare tactic.
Right.
But a lot of the times, you know, you will have an order that they didn't do these things and that they'll have to pay with penalties.
And then is it also kind of like a history of somebody's credibility?
Sure.
Can it affect future proceeding just based on this?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
turn the judge off, that kind of thing.
It definitely is going to make you look like a bad person.
Right.
And not care. Now, if you had a justified reason where you couldn't pay, like you lost your job and you just didn't file to modify, that's different. The courts will not be throwing people in jail just for the purpose of
which happens. People lose their job they're ordered to pay a sum that they don't even earn each month and they don't do anything to change it. And then that sum just grows.
And that's the key is, and in those cases, then you want to probably take it to the next step and then you could actually get effectively a lien and put a lien on, say, like a house or something. The problem is you have to go get a judgment for what amount was owed. And then you have to go apply it to something you can apply it to, right? Bank accounts and things like that. Right. You can get levies on accounts and you get the sheriffs to walk in and take money. And all this stuff sounds cool. But in practice, the people tend to not have the money to do these things or the house or the house is in, you know, a new spouse's name or the house in a mom's name or like all this stuff.
When they're crafty all the way around.
And that's the part where does it make sense cost wise? And sometimes the answer is no. You can certainly pay an attorney to try.
Right.
But, you know, blood from a stone's real. It's really hard to do and it's really expensive.
In your career, because I know you've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
Have you seen a successful contempt case? And I'm not just talking about the judge saying you're in contempt.
Yeah.
But the collection of it. Have you seen somebody write a check that day? Tell us about a couple of the cases that you've seen.
Yeah. So, again, when we have dealt with this, we're dealing with kind of crappy people.
Yeah.
Right? People that are thumbing the nose of the courts, any order, they don't care. But then when jail comes into play, all of a sudden they change their tune.
Because it affects them.
Because now they went, uh-oh. And they like to keep up the persona that they're the funny guy. And you know, that changes in jail.
So this is a case you're in your mind that you're thinking of.
There's a couple that have played out in the same kind of way. And it's they can say not guilty because they get arraigned. And they can play it up for the majority of the time. And then usually you have, just like any other trial, a settlement conference or something ahead of the game. And the public defender is basically going like, you know, you win. And we go, yeah. And they go, how about we pay you now? And you go, OK, because that's the point. Right. The point is
to get the money,
to get money.
Right.
And we've had people turn down the settlement of the amount because they want to see the other side punish. But that doesn't work. Right.
No.
We have to talk to them a bit because the courts are going to say not for nothing. This isn't the point. And I get, you know, the frustrations with everybody. But
so their former spouse is ready to pony up the $20,000 they owe them.
Correct.
But they are so angered that they had to go through all this or the emotions from the divorce or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I want you to go to jail and suffer.
Yeah.
I don't even want your money anymore.
And that's where they're at. And
got it.
It's not really what the courts are for.
Like, no.
It's just the courts, if everyone has like the fantasy view that or almost a romanticized view that the court's there to solve it and create justice, then that's not real. Like it's just not real. It's there to keep generally people in line and try to pull them back when they step out of line to make life better for most people. But there are outliers and there are people that get away with effectively everything.
Yeah, it's a broken system.
It's a broken system. It's a good system.
Yeah.
But
there's always going to be imperfections.
There are all and you really are stuck on the judge. Because there are judges that are hard on everything. And there are judges that are ready to throw the book at people. And then that judge rotates. Then you have a different judge. And that judge is like, oh, let's try things out. Let's be nice because they're new and they like this idea of positivity.
They haven't been jaded by the system.
They haven't been jaded. You kind of need a good jaded judge when you're sitting there going, but they haven't paid for 2 years. Yeah, but let's put that behind us and move forward. And you're like,
yeah, depending on what side you're on, this
correct,
yeah.
Right? So it's one of those that you can kind of see when you're just like, ugh. But at least there's some mandatory things there, and the courts have to take it serious. And it is very much requiring formal steps. So contempt is a good one, but it's, you know, it doesn't mean it will work, and it doesn't mean that it solves all the problems, and it doesn't mean that there won't be problems tomorrow.
Do you see more contempt with money or financial pieces, or are there other popular reasons to file contempt?
You can file contempt for any order that's not being followed, right? So in theory, you could file it for not following custody orders. I've not done it because, practically speaking, doesn't make sense. Like it's there practically in my mind for dollars and enforce the dollars.
Right. Cause typically if one parent doesn't visit with the kid, the court's not, or the spouse that has the kid is not going to go fight to say, hey, take my kid more.
Correct.
Usually there's a reason that they're okay with the visitation not occurring.
And we have seen people, we've had people come here and specifically say they're not exercising the visits. Can you go make them? And the answer is, a long time ago, we tried to go judge, order them to do parent.
Right.
And the judge says, you can't. You can't ask someone to be a better person. You made a kid with them and it kind of sucks. And that was like the comment. And we're just like, okay. And, you know, from now on, that's always the answer. There's just no point. What you do is almost the opposite, is you go back to court to restrict the time.
Right.
And just at least memorialize what's really happening so that you don't have a major change in 6 months where
they haven't seen the kid for a year and all of a sudden they've got 50-50 custody.
And all of a sudden they get a new spouse and the new spouse wants to be super parent and now they're 50-50 in and
this your child doesn't know who they are.
Yep. Yeah. And that happens. Unfortunately, that happens quite a bit.
And it's a lot easier said when you're not in it. But if somebody didn't want to be a part of my child's life, I certainly wouldn't want to put my child in their care. So it's a hard thing. I mean, and it's very difficult and very sad when parents, but what the judge said, it's a tough statement, but it rings true.
Yeah.
You know who people are, or they show you, or you should take the time to know before you decide to have children. Now there's, or marry, or hook yourself to their wagon.
Yeah.
Now there's exceptions to those rules. Sometimes pregnancy happens very quickly. But in general, you kind of get what you pay for with people.
And it sucks. And the courts can't make people better.
I didn't mean pay for but you know what I mean.
You did. I mean, it's not an incorrect statement. It's just sometimes some of the stuff we have to deal with is the raw truth about this.
You need
a kid and the kid's real and you got to deal with the kid and you got to deal with the other side and the other side sucks. And sometimes that's just the reality.
And one of the things I appreciate about you and the way you practice is you are very real and very honest, and you will bend over backwards to help people within the boundaries that you have with the law.
Yeah.
But you are also very honest with them, and you never just blow smoke or take money just to take money. So I do appreciate that about you.
I don't think that's our role. And I think that's always been a tough one on my end. And I remember like in law school was a tough one where the upbringing through the school is you do what the client says, right? Because that's in theory what a lawyer does. But like our world's different because our world has implications that last, 18 plus years to ever, that playing the wrong move or the move that this isn't checkers anymore, it's chess. And it may not mean that everything has a legal impact, but
this is a much more emotional field.
Yeah. And emotions go way longer than anything. Like, this isn't a civil case where you didn't pay a contract, but it has nothing to do with that. This is usually tied to something with a child, and that child's going to be a part of everyone's lives. They're going to grow. And
it's not always right to listen to the client because they're talking with emotion and not logic or, what they feel right now. They're probably not going to feel in 3 to 6 months.
And that part's tough. And then the friend that always is encouraging them, you have to kind of also like dance around these people where you're just like, look, I get that this person you believe is on your side and they're saying the things you want them to say, but
based on the information you've provided.
Always.
And they love you. I had a consult yesterday. We had a consult yesterday.
Yep.
And I think she had been to your seminar and found it very impactful. Mm-hmm. And She wanted to discover or talk about mediation, explore that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was told a couple times that they both needed to be here if that was the case. And when she sat down, I said, I really can't talk to you about anything but the procedure of mediation, or if you're looking for help with your paperwork, we can talk about that. But you will need to let him know that you were here and spoke with me. So we chatted, and everything was my therapist said, mm-hmm. my best friend said, my neighbor said, and I said, not for nothing, but what do you think?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
I know they care about you. I know they want what's best for you, mm-hmm. but they weren't part of your marriage. They've heard your complaints because we don't run over to our spouses when everything's golden. They're not as much.
Sure, sure.
Life is busy and da da da. And I said, but do you want this? And she had to sit there and think about what even her emotions were for quite some time. And it's just, it's always fascinating me. I think I've said, if I had a dollar for every time I said, don't make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions, or don't let other people be a part of your divorce because they weren't part of your marriage, I'd be a very rich person today.
Yeah, we'll make some t-shirts or something.
There we go.
It's so true. Yeah, absolutely. It's so true, though. It's so much that people are jumping up and down about. We had a case the other day that we went to court over, and going to court is probably one of the most important things you can do, because you see cases, other cases, different things. And then you kind of put your case in context maybe and help yourself out. Our case, we were fighting over what's appropriate to put in front of a kid for TV, right? Which is important. We can't have kids watching, you know, mature things when they're 5 years old and not expecting some type of adverse impact, at least temporarily. And in theory, we've not reached agreements on a couple pieces, and trial's the next step, right? Because that's what happens. You go to court, and it's either going to be, do you agree with the report, or are we setting it for trial?
Right.
And I spoke to the other side and said, look, this is dumb, right? I'm representing both sides, or my client, but the scenario is dumb. We don't need to be in court. We need to settle these things. We need to come up with some times that make sense, some arrangements. He was open. He was fine. And then I spoke to my client, who got there a little bit late, and I was like, hey, what are your thoughts on not going in front of the judge today? And let's try to do like a sit down and just actually try to solve it. Everyone come in, everyone accept blame for where they're at, which is, you know, is that my role? My role is trying to solve a bigger problem.
Right.
Right.
There's a fleeting thing happening where people cannot accept blame.
Correct.
And so good for you.
This client has been a client for, we'll say, 6 years. So,
okay. So they know.
This is not me just saying, hey, I'll do whatever I want. It's, I know you and I know the situation. I know the ebbs and flows of you two and your relationship. But we've got to come up with a better answer, because you're just going to spend another 10 grand to fight over, should we not show a 5-year-old R-rated movie? So you're like, the answer is, of course not. And the court's already made that comment. So we've already solved that issue. And should we not expose the kids to drugs? And of course not. And the court's already made, like, right. So there's things that are silly things that you have to go to court over. Unfortunately, in cases.
I feel very bad for the opposing counsel that's representing the guy who wants to show the kid the Rex,
right? Well,
and do the drugs.
Currently unrepresented, yeah. Because okay, that stuff had changed. And that was more stuff in the beginning. And
right.
For what it's worth, he's grown, which is good to see as a parent growing.
Yeah.
And but our client still has reservations, because she's been in the trenches dealing with these real things. So you kind of have to walk people through some real life things, and then try to encourage change, and then go, but if we don't come to agreement, we're going to go to court and destroy you. Like, that's just life. Like, but we don't have to. So we're sitting there waiting to be called. And the case before us is involving a situation in which a parent was neglectful and a child died. Right. So like, Lori, those are the biggest, hardest cases.
Yeah.
When you have serious injury, right. Molestation in, you know, physical dismemberment, things of that nature. And then death is the biggest one of all. And thank God our plan was to not then go behind them and yell and argue about whether or not watching a movie is a big deal. Like, in context, our case as a whole is silly.
So this was the case that was being heard while you guys were in the gallery waiting.
Correct. Correct.
And how could you follow that act? It means nothing.
So afterwards, I made sure to explain to the client, the things we're arguing about are real. Comma, but in the grand scheme of what the court sees, that's what I think that's that message that people need to understand.
Right.
The court has seen it all. So is your case going to be that big of a deal? If the other side was 20 minutes late to a visit, and it's annoying. Is that enough to take away all of their time? Right? Because that's what people do. They look for that 100%. One thing, they jump on
They're so pissed at the other parent for adult reasons.
Correct.
Right? Mostly. There are.
Right. And there's always like a, could you have given a heads up? Well, yeah. Could you have texted the way that you were running late? Like, there's all things people could do. And of course, person A is being an ass and person B is absorbing it and fighting back. But like, I don't think it's ever resonated with a person as much as, hey, your case means something to you. But if you go in front of a judge and yell about these things, respectfully, you're not going to win because they just dealt with someone that had a kid that died. And that's a bigger deal.
And that's where the time should be spent on the court.
And that's the toughest part, because everyone internalizes and says, my case is the worst. This person is the worst. And there are things that that person's doing that are not good.
Right.
Right. So that's not, and it's not that your case is insignificant, because it matters and it means something. But if we're going to go to court, and this is just making it up, and we're going to seek full custody because that parent didn't tie the kid's shoes right, understand that that's going to get compared to, was your child murdered? Right. Even if the judge doesn't say that, that's what they see. They see real things.
Real bad things. And for the people who are listening, it may sound silly that you're saying,
oh, yeah,
the other parent didn't tie their shoes right. But there are parents that will go back to court for things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or want to go back to court. We don't in this office.
We're not doing that.
Do that.
No, go figure it out.
There are people who will. And it sounds so petty, but it happens in family law.
We had
all the time.
Oh, all the time. We had a case that we were a part of years ago that reached back out this year and asked for us to retain. They asked to re-retain. And it wasn't a case that I necessarily enjoyed doing. I thought both parents were quite whiny. The kids were stuck in the middle. They both had private mediation. Mediator kind of agreed. So it was a situation where it's like, you know, we did our piece to resolve the issues.
Right.
And I don't want that case again. We're moving on. And the opposing counsel took the same approach, separate from us, but also
same thing.
Did not. And I didn't know any of this until I'm in court and I see that name pop up and I was like, well, that's interesting. And then I see who they are with and I went, that's interesting. And they went with a highly litigious individual that has no scruples about what they're doing.
So I know this person.
Well, yeah, but it's not that one. It's a different one. Okay. It's the other one.
Got it.
And it's just one you kind of shake your head and you go, you want to fight so bad, you will pay anybody to just say you're right so you can keep fighting with that spouse or ex-spouse or any of this other crap. And it's almost like that's the level of intimacy they want, so that they're tied to each other, but they just want to fight each other until they're blue in the face.
And a lot of times those are the people who are mad at the system and say the system's broken.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one final question for you. You said that everybody's kind of got a romanticized view of the court.
Yeah.
Do you think that TVs and movies have created this fantasy of, you know, people getting up and saying this wonderful closing argument and the court, you know, everybody stopping and you could hear a pin drop? I mean, all the wonderful things that people dream about happening.
Yeah, I think so. Most of this stuff is criminal court, right? Most, because that's where the fun, the drama is.
The crazy.
Nobody does family. I don't know. Maybe there's a movie about family court, but like, unless it's going to be set like The Office, it's just going to be sad. And the reality is, especially at the ends of trials, the judge has pages and pages of notes and hundreds of documents and doesn't care about your 5-minute spiel about at the end. And I've had opposing sides that stand up there and go on and on with 2-page speech. And then the judge looks at me and I'm like, I'm not doing that. And the judge is like, great. Because like we already know our points. We've made them 45 times. What does the report say? What did the document say? What is this? What is that?
Right. So you lean on the facts of the case.
You lean on the facts of the case. And if you have to do an emotional plea like that, trial was probably the wrong spot to be in. I mean, you didn't have any of the support. But again, we've also had lots of people that run to court, want to do trial because they won their quote-unquote day in court. And that's also dumb.
Spend your money on something much more valuable. There were two shows that I can think of. One, I think, was called Judging Amy. Mm. And it was about family court. It may have lasted a while, but the cases changed. It wasn't as, gloom and doom. And then they tried to do something called The Mediator.
Okay.
Not once did she mediate something. She was just running around kind of like an information gatherer and, an investigator. But it was kind of a cool show.
Well, I'll look into those. I think we deal with that too much on day to day.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch any of those shows at the end.
No, but it is interesting. And I hear people say, I want to take them to the cleaner. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
In family court, taking to the cleaner
means nothing.
Splitting it in half?
Yeah.
You're going to split it in half.
That's
really
what you're
going to
get. Yeah.
Like there's certainly some ways to lean things your direction. But
right.
Generally speaking, we've had people go, I just want my fair share. I hate that too, because that just means.
What's your interpretation of a fair share?
Yeah, it means at some point you're going to get pissy that it's not a high enough number and I'm going to deal with that.
Right.
And it's like, so half? No, I mean, my fair share.
Yeah.
Like no, I don't want
70-30.
Yeah, yeah. It tends to be, but I was married too long and I want all of it. I'm like, that's not fair in any world. But no. He cheated or she cheated. I'm like, okay, but.
I'm sorry.
All right, let's figure that out.
The therapist cares. Your friends and family cares. Yeah. The judge doesn't.
The judge doesn't, unless you can tie it to dollars.
My God, if people were penalized for every time they had an affair, a lot of broke people running around.
You know, it would be interesting if we had something like that. Because I think like there's some states that have fault and they will do a unequal distribution. There you go. There's a dis. Unequal distribution based on the fault of the party, which I think is neat. But I think California is kind of like, don't get hung up on that.
Yeah.
Be done and move on, because that actually makes a lot more sense.
I would be curious to know if those other states that had a fault law, if the infidelity rate was lower, if the divorce rate was lower.
That'd be an interesting study.
Yeah, we might have to look into that.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one, because there should be some acknowledgement, I think.
Right.
And I think that would be like the emotional part where you could kind of calm that down.
Sometimes people just want... I'm sorry.
I have told so many people, if you would just apologize, the case would be done.
Yeah.
And they won't, which I guess, I mean, like, I don't know if I would listen to the other side. They're like, just freaking apologize and we can move on today.
Yeah.
But that's often the piece that's holding up everything.
It's always the emotional piece that's holding up.
Yeah. And people just won't do it. And a lot of attorneys go, I'm not going to advise my client to apologize. And I'm like, this is because you can't think beyond what you're doing.
Because you wouldn't do it if it was you.
Right. But the reality is that would solve years of their problems.
100%.
And you just don't. And then there's
something. And your client's problem as well.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And it's just one of those. It sucks when the right answer isn't the right legal answer. So it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
In our world. But, you know.
But we try.
But we try. That's what we probably leave. But we try.
I was going to say. So at the end of this, there are steps that you can take if. Your former spouse, ex, whatever, is not following a court order. If there is a court order and it's not being followed, there are steps you can take.
Correct.
However, it's not a one size fits all. It doesn't work in every scenario.
Correct.
But if we're going to take away two more things, it's be careful and take your time. People show you who they are. And if you pay attention in the beginning, you avoid problems in the end, hopefully. And number two, don't be a dick and take people back for stupid things when there are real, real problems in the world.
Don't be a dick is life lesson.
Yeah. I mean,
that,
I just...
If we all just followed that.
Yeah. If at the end of the day, we just made our decisions going, I don't want to be a dick. Is this the right move? We'd all be in great shape.
Yeah. That would be it. We need one rule.
And one rule. And maybe that should be like the title of our show. Because it seems to be something that you and I both agree on and a motto that we try and live by.
Yeah, I would agree with you completely and nobody would listen.
No.
Or everyone I kind of enjoy that that's just the answer.
The right people would know.
The non-dicks.
The non-dicks would be a great audience.
He'd be the best.
I think our audience is a bunch of non-dicks and we have a great audience right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to sign off for today before we say that word like for the 50th time.
I was going to say, we went through this whole thing without it being censored. This one I'll have an explicit next to it. Sorry, everybody.
We so enjoy doing this every week. It is what I look forward to during the week the most. And we will be back next week with another episode. We hope that you enjoy. We hope you are having a great week. We hope that you are not being a dick, and we'll see you next time.
There it is. Have a good day, everyone.